I'm just tired of the hypocrisy. I'm tired of people saying, oh, Henry Cavill Superman was so dark. He murdered people. Look back at the past. Every beloved interpretation of Batman and Superman also murdered people. So that's something that I just wanted to throw out into the ether because I'm sick of hearing it. Okay? Get out of my butt with it.
None of them snapped somebody's neck and cried like a baby to end the
he
whole
He cried movie. Because after, he's so good, Dan. He's so good-hearted that it hurt his soul to do that.
After
he's such a great guy.
You okay?
The DCU has been a topic on every nerd's mind and brain and mouth these days. I guess your brain and mind are pretty much the same thing. Unless you're some type of supervillain that has a exothermic brain attached. Yeah. We talked about Creature Commandos on another episode on the show. And I think that Creature Commandos was a great first step. I never thought I would say that. It was an obscure project, not the fanciest animation style. And then we got the Superman 2025 trailer. When the trailer first came out, the first time that I viewed the trailer, I wasn't a fan of the John Williams electric guitar score. I thought that it felt too much like Guardians of the Galaxy. Just the way, like if they had just played it like in an orchestral way, I would have loved it. I would have been like, oh, this is, I mean, I understand what they were trying to do with that score. They were trying to show us all that this is a different Superman, okay? It's not Henry Cavill Superman, but the, it just felt too much like Guardians, okay? It felt too much rock opera. But just wait before you guys lose your crap, okay? Just let me finish my entire thought process. Then I saw Crypto, the space dog, in the trailer. And really, honestly, that was something that I had a lot of concerns about before I saw the trailer. And then I saw the trailer and I was just like, is this going to work? Is it too much? Is it too comic booky? But then over time, I started seeing reactions to Crypto, just Crypto in the trailer. I showed the trailer to my coworkers. I watched reaction videos. I never watch reaction videos, but I watched reaction videos on YouTube, people tearing up about Crypto. And I will say that I have softened on that stance a bit. At first, I thought it was a little too wacky and goofy, but now seeing how emotionally happy it makes everyone seeing this dog take me home, Crypto. I can still hear the sound that his little jaws make. I mean, I love dogs, okay? Don't get it twisted. I'm not like a dog or animal hater here, but I just worried that it was going to be a little too cheesy. Now my stance has softened a bit.
Okay. I didn't go Guardians when I heard that guitar because, you know, I am a child of the 80s. I was born in 1979, and all it was missing was that bell at the beginning, because I swear to God, it was Superman crossed with Maverick. This was Top Gun Superman. My like 12-year-old self could not have been more excited about anything in the world. They tickled all of my member berries. You know, I was in South Park. They had the member berries. I remember Top Gun. I remember Christopher Reeve's Superman. And dude, just take my money. Just take all my money. Like all of it. Like whatever it costs. If all you do is play the trailer for 2 hours, end on end, it ends, and then you play it again, I'm going to leave just like, you know, I get to buy a Crypto popcorn bucket on my way in to watch that trailer 100 times. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to leave and tell you it's the best superhero experience I've ever had in a movie theater.
That is a great idea, Dan. You should try to float that to the people at Warner Brothers.
Yeah. If they don't do it, people need to be fired en masse.
That trailer was everything I wanted. It felt like Superman, which I haven't felt in a long time. And going back to Crypto, me and my daughter, every morning after I get back from the gym, we have an hour-long hangout where we just watch whatever. We watched the trailer as it premiered. We did the countdown, and then it went into the trailer.
So did I.
When Abigail saw that dog, she had legitimately this response. She went, huh? And I was like, they're going to make $1 billion with this. Every kid in America just fell in love. And it makes Superman so much more relatable, because if you're an 8-year-old, you might not can fly, you might not can shoot lasers out of your eyes, But let me tell you what you do. You can say, I have a dog. Superman has a dog. We're not so different. It's brilliant. I'm so excited for it. And after Creature Commandos, maybe like tying into the DC universe, I'm really interested to see if James Gunn plays up on the alienness of Superman. Not necessarily in a bad way like Snyder tried to do. Just the fact that he is so quirky and different from the rest of the planet, but he still has that big smile and he's still America's best. I'm so excited to see that. Yeah, it was also Top Gun for the record. I love it.
It was the exact tone.
The main thing that I love about this trailer right now is it gives me the impression, not just that this isn't an origin story, which we know it's not, but that it seems to be much further down the line in the story of Superman. I love that because that is an unexplored cinematic territory. We have never seen anything in cinema that covers that area of the Superman story. And so I think that's a brilliant move by James Gunn. He's going to be doing it with Batman, as we know as well. He's picking it up, you know, kind of in the midst of the Bat family and all that kind of stuff. We also know some of the other projects that he's doing. They don't seem to be doing a lot of the origin stuff. So I feel like this is going to be a universe that's going to be kind of different in that regard. Instead of introducing you to these characters, they're assuming that you know the majority of these characters, and then they're going to make them collaborate some other way. And I think that's a brilliant move. That's what I expect from probably the Green Lantern show. That's what I expect from a lot of the other stuff as well. So
that was my next question. What do you guys think about this being a lived-in universe? On one hand, I think, well, obviously it's very different than what the MCU did with their approach. You know, they really built every character up. And then, you know, we got those big team up films. It could work. Once again, I try not to be pessimistic. I'm usually an optimistic person, but that's kind of what the DCEU did. They really gave us a lot of characters. Just here you go, here you go, here you go. And it didn't work for me in a lot of ways because of that. Once again, James Gunn is a master storyteller. And, you know, just look at a project like Creature Commandos. We didn't know who any of those characters were until the show came out. It only took 2 hours, maybe, total course of the whole entire season. And now, not only do we know who those characters are, but we care about those characters. Never thought I'd say this, but I'm sad and disappointed that Nina died in Creature Commandos. Just like Lord of the Rings. I think the first Lord of the Rings movie had lots of characters that they introduced all at once. They gave it to us in one big gulp. I'm not a huge fan of Lord of the Rings, but that's what they tell me, at least, that there's a lot of characters in those films. So same thing here. If you introduce these characters and make us care about them, that's all that matters. And I hope they can do that.
I feel like this makes the DCU even more, like we've been talking about, comic book accurate, because this is the experience you have. You know, you can't do this anymore. When we were kids, you went to the spinner rack at the gas station or the Quickie Mart, and you picked up an issue of Amazing Spider-Man or Action Comics. And if you picked up Action Comics number 312, it was not Superman's origin story. Superman was in the middle of a fight with Brainiac or Lex Luthor or somebody else, and you got thrown right into the middle of the story. That's how they're going to roll out this universe. It's something that hasn't been tried, but it works in animation. Like if you watch like Justice League Unlimited, which was a huge hit, Justice League Unlimited does not spend the first season giving you the origin story of every hero in the Justice League or even the Justice League. The Justice League is already a thing in the first episode, and they're going to go out and stop supervillains. So it's exciting. I think it will work. Even though everything's already going, every character is going to get a spotlight and an adventure that you jump into the middle of, and that's how they're going to introduce them.
With Creature Commandos, let's talk about the DC Studios screen that they have at the beginning. How cool is that? That is something DC has been missing for a long time, is a good cut screen like that at the beginning. And to have Superman be the central piece of the DC Studios universe, that is what they've needed to focus on for years. And not just Superman. That is OG Superman, man. That is Action Comics Superman. That's exactly what they needed to do. James Gunn is going right for the heart of comic book fans, which I absolutely love. I also think this has been done before in cinema, and it's been done very successfully. Let's not forget that the Spider-Man in the MCU, we did not see the origins of, okay? They completely skipped the origin story of Spider-Man in the MCU, and we didn't miss a beat, guys. We've seen the Spider-Man story before. We've seen Uncle Ben get shot and Spider-Man not be able to save him. It's a ridiculous thing to just keep doing over and over and over again.
Sure, but Spider-Man's a really popular character that we've seen multiple iterations of. So it's a little different when you have a Guy Gardner Green Lantern or a Hulk girl that we're not giving an origin story for. But once again, they probably will. They'll probably do the Incredible Hulk 2008 method where they slowly trickle in things and stuff of their past and their origin. So, yeah, I'm on board. I think that it could be very good.
I'm not trying to belittle something to build something up. The thing that makes me the most excited about this is if you listen to Snyder's interview he did on Joe Rogan, he said that he only likes to deconstruct characters.
Yeah.
And there is a time to deconstruct characters. Like, I'm not saying that that's not always good. Dark Knight Returns is one of my favorite comics ever written. And it's completely deconstructing the whole universe, basically. The problem is, when you deconstruct the characters, it messes everything up. And I feel like that was the problem with the DCEU. If you don't got Superman right, you don't got any of it right.
Right. And you can't lead off with a story like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta make us love Superman. And then when he does deconstruct and becomes this archetype of a bad guy, you hurt for it.
Yes.
And also, like, that was the biggest problem with Batman and Batman v Superman. Superman's so dadgum dark that Batman has to be a murderer because Batman has to be darker than Superman for that dichotomy to work.
Okay, let's pause that thought for 1 second. What about Michael Keaton? Wasn't he also a murderer? What about Christopher Reeve back in 1978, back in 1980 with Superman 2? Did he or did he not throw Zod into the abyss and murder him in cold blood?
Yeah, Superman's killed people before, and in the 80s, they were embarrassed that they were comic book movies.
He put him back into the negative zone at the end.
Oh, no, he did not, Dan. He murdered him in cold blood. He dropped his corpse into a cold ravine.
It's very ambiguous, I think, is what Dan's saying. But as far as Michael Keaton, if you expect anything but a murdering psychopath when we're dealing with Tim Burton, that's your own fault, okay?
I'm just tired of the hypocrisy. I'm tired of people saying, oh, Henry Cavill Superman was so dark. He murdered people. Look back at the past. Every beloved interpretation of Batman and Superman also murdered people. So that's something that I just wanted to throw out into the ether because I'm sick of hearing it. Okay? Get off my butt with it.
None of them snapped somebody's neck and cried like a baby to end the
he
whole
He cried movie. Because after, he's so good, Dan. He's so good-hearted that it hurt his soul to do that.
After he's such a great guy. A whole cityscape, devastating a whole cityscape with not one effort to save anybody.
What did you want him to do, Dan? It was his first day as Superman. How can you be heroic when you're dealing with three beings of equal strength while it's your first day as Superman? I mean, what do you want him to do, Jason? He saved somebody out of a helicopter.
It's about what the writers chose. To
Jonathan,
you guys don't like real world stories. That's okay.
Jonathan, you need to take your eyes off of his biceps for just a second and see this in
not even about
real
that.
Light. The fact of the matter is that story did not accentuate the character of Superman. It was an interesting story and it was an interesting take. I did not like that it was the foundation of the DCEU. That's what I didn't like, because at that point, everything rolling forward, it kind of set the tone for it.
It's more
but
of a
once
satire
again, you know, we keep comparing Superman, or we keep comparing Henry Cavill to Christopher Reeve. We keep comparing the OG Batman, Michael Keaton.
Don't forget, lest we
forget that they were also murderers.
But that being said, Tim Burton actively said that he didn't read comic books. Of course, that was what we had at the time.
What about Richard Donner? Did he read comic books? Because everybody seems to love his interpretation of Superman.
Superman has killed in the comics, but there's remorse for it. The only remorse that we see from Superman.
He just talked about how he cried, but everybody wants to make fun of him about that, too.
I make fun of him for the first 2 hours of the movie where he's moping around being a hobo.
Jason, he was going through a lot of things in his life.
That's the reason he destroyed that truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah,
that, you know, was what?
That, that, that choice was
the guy poured a beer on my head. You know what really is fair? I need to just take this truck and twist it around a pole. And
that's
just,
an evil
that's
Superman
what I need to do.
Superman 3.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely more evil than anything Christopher Reeves did in Superman 3.
I think just break some beer bottles and try to get laid.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's not what we wanted, but the whole thing just falls apart. You get a mopey, unheroic Superman who doesn't really save a lot of people, so much so that Batman flies off the handle and feels like he needs to kill him because a whole city gets destroyed. Batman spills a whole movie trying to kill him until they learn that their moms are both named Martha.
Which, hey, Superman. You're not going to get any pushback from me on Batman versus Superman because.
All right. So this new DC universe, man, it's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah. So then Superman saves the city from Doomsday, destroys just as much as he did save the city from Zod. But now, instead of Batman being like, I'm glad he's dead, he kept messing stuff up. He's like, no, I got to resurrect him.
That's where
now.
Things definitely fell apart. BVS, that's where things big time fell apart. But there was something there with Man of Steel. There definitely was something there. You know, the very guy that gave us Man of Steel, like Jason said, probably wasn't the right choice to lead your universe. But yeah, things fell apart really quickly. But we're just talking about the exemplary Superman of everyone's fantasies and hopes and dreams is Christopher Reeve. Well, don't forget, he killed folks too, okay? I guarantee if you'd have gave him a he would have busted a cap in Zod's brain.
I think a lot of those people that come into this, with positive feelings, Jonathan, they are going to be a bit surprised when they're not introduced to the Hal Jordan Green Lantern. When they are introduced to Guy Gardner, it's going to be one of those things that will be kind of a shocking thing to them. Whoa, this is who the Green Lantern is? That's who Guy Gardner's Green Lantern is. And that's something that they all need to remember. This is kind of an interesting take to pick up at this point in the story. We'll see what happens with it. But I think there's a lot of reason to be excited. A lot of people don't like when there's darker heroes. Just what do you do about it? I mean, sooner or later, we just watched Creature Commandos. A lot of those characters had very, very, very dark characteristics. And DC in general is usually pretty dark. You know, I love that they're leading off with Superman, but this is going to be a situation where you're going to have your share of people doing terrible things. That's what Creature Commandos was. That's what I fully expect from the Authority. I fully expect the Authority to be just like The Boys, to be just like Watchmen, to be something like that.
In fact, Millie Alcock's Supergirl allegedly started shooting yesterday in London, is what I've heard in the interwebs. So that's something that's intriguing too. It's going to be really exciting for me to see a modern day Supergirl. There's a lot of things to get excited about. Swamp Thing, you know? And also, I really love how James Gunn says that we're not putting anything out or announcing anything, even though they already kind of did announce their slate, but we're not putting a movie out until it's got a finished script and we're really happy with it. And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. You can't get too caught up in your multiverses and universes until you just have to start off with a good film. And I think that James Gunn gets that. And there's a lot of things to get excited about.
I think that's brilliant. To just do Gods and Monsters, like, I think that was so smart to do it that way.
And I think even with the darkness and something like Creature Commandos, there's a lightheartedness, a sense of fun that's implied in here. You know, the self-seriousness gets just overbearing sometimes. And I think this is going to be a fun universe. You know, you're going to be able to enjoy this and feel good about it. Even when, like, it's getting dark, it'll be, like, some dark humor, which I love some dark humor. So one of the reasons, like I had said before in our other talk about Creature Commandos versus The Suicide Squad, is I feel like The Suicide Squad, even though it was directed by James Gunn, it was originally made to be part of the DCEU, right? Which that film, when you watch it, has the Zack Snyder color palette. Everything is a little bit gray for
a little bit, but it was a little more colorful than everything else that we had gotten in the DCU at that point.
But it was muted. It was not the bright, shiny colors like you would have gotten in Guardians or even in this.
Why so serious?
Yeah.
Have they announced yet? Is Blue Beetle bleeding over or
he is. And here's a fun fact. I'm glad you brought that up before I forget it. I was at GalaxyCon in Columbus, Ohio last month. And I got to meet, I forget how you pronounce his name. I think his first name is Cholo. Forget his last name. Sorry, I'll throw that up on the screen.
Jaime Reyes.
No, Jaime Reyes is who he plays in the film. But
that's what I said.
So I talked to him, and you know, after we took our little picture together, I was like, "Hey, by the way, is it confirmed that you're going to be in the new DCU?" And he almost looked at me. I'm not trying to say anything bad about the guy. He seemed like the nicest guy ever, but he almost looked at me like, "Yeah, dude, we announced that. You know, that's I'm going to be in the show," is what he said. So I don't know that that's something that has been announced, but he sounded very confident, just telling me one-on-one.
Well, and I will say that the movie surprised me, and so that's why I'm kind of interested about that. The movie surprised me, and I know that Dan brought up the color tone. That was one of the movies that did not have that color tone, all right? The city that they were in, the character itself. It could
easily fit into a new universe.
The artwork for the original comic book, which is from 2006, I think, something like that. The artwork from that comic book was done by Jim Lee, and it looks fantastic. And he looked just like that. And I thought that the colors and everything, that's going to bleed very well with James Gunn's universe, just from an optics perspective. And the hero itself is something that surprised me. He did a very good job with the character, the guy from Cobra Kai, whatever his name is, that plays Jaime Reyes. Just in general, I think that that's kind of an interesting piece that he is coming back. That'd be pretty awesome.
And that was announced officially by James Gunn before that movie came out. He said that this is not an official DCU film, but we will be keeping Cholo Martinez's version of Blue Beetle in our new DCU. That was officially announced, but we never really got any confirmation as to like what they were going to do with the character next.
Gotcha.
So have you ever seen the picture that James Gunn released of him waving goodbye to like the Snyder version of these characters? Blue Beetle is it, and him waving to his new universe. Blue Beetle is in the new universe as well. I love that Blue Beetle movie too. It was super fun. I didn't love it,
but I thought it was, you know, solid performances. It was a fun movie.
Yeah, it was a good generic superhero film. And honestly, it was different than everything else.
Well, it was kind of like taking everything else and putting it into a blender and giving us, you know, everything else from everything else.
Yeah.
I love George Lopez too. So.
Yes.
I haven't watched it. I didn't think I had to because I was under the impression it wasn't going to matter. So I was like,
yeah, you don't have to.
It's a fun little, like, 2 hours and 15 minutes or something like that. It's fun.
I watched Shazam too, but then I skipped Aquaman 2 and Blue Beetle and Flash because I'm like, oh, they're abandoning all this. So I'm just not even going to. I'm not going to do
that. Aquaman 2 wasn't terrible. The first Aquaman to me was still a good movie, but the second Aquaman wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And I liked the first one. Aquaman until Pitbull showed up at the end of it, like with the song. I was like, oh, I can't support this.
You're off that.
I'm off that.
I think that there's definitely a bright future in the horizon for the DCU. Only time will tell what actually happens, but I think that they're definitely on the right track. Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Comic Book Cinema. Check out Tim and Dan on Nerd Chants. They have a cool YouTube channel there. I've been on there before. Jason's been on there before. Check out Jason on Spotify. He's got Your Imaginary Podcast. And he's also got Jason Explains It All. I know. Check us out on our other social medias, TikTok, Instagram. We're at Real Comic Book Cinema. And until next time, have a good one.